see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. Mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Good evening, good afternoon, on the end of the week here. Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon, end of the week. I got a lot for you today, and I do believe, in my opinion, I've got a reason or an explanation, several actually, for this Malaysia flight and the flight, the other two. Three flights went down 1 week, 460-odd people. Some of them, I bet you, are a small number of them have different identities. But the majority of them, did you know the one in Malaysia, they didn't have any blood in their bodies? That they're already dead 3 or 4 days before they were used as target practice. I have an explanation for it. I obviously can't verify it from sources of inside sources and all that, but I have a really good high probability of why those planes went down, why those people were sacrificed, why the blood was drained from their body, why they were dead for 3 or 4 days, put on their naked, as we say down south. They didn't have any clothes on. In other words, there's a reason for that too. It goes along with a major subject I have today, a subject that controls the governments in this world. It's not politics. Politics is used as a strategy. Politics was never meant to be a career. Politics was created to present an idea. And the idea is never, ever good. Although you can turn it around on them, which is what a group of folks are doing. I'm going to talk about that shortly. Texas, Percival, Virginia, other places, they're doing something about it. And these Knights of Malta, like Rick Joyner, Jenner Boink, and these guys, talking about revolution and armed revolution and all that, they're up to no good. They're lying to you, veterans. They're lying to you, patriot guys. You're dealing with Knights of Malta. They're like the Jesuits. They're traitors to the humankind, because they've taken a blood oath against you, pretending to be on your side. I follow Jesus Christ, and I'm done. That's it. That's where my loyalty lies. It's unnegotiable. That's it. It stops there. Or should I say starts there? Starts and stops. Today I'm going to talk about how witchcraft has invaded our culture. I mean mankind. Always has been. It's satanic. It's Luciferian. It's demonic. I've been talking about it for the past 2 or 3 days. It controls the governments. It's not some teenagers that we're talking about to get in the cemetery and we're talking about the goth and all that. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the underworld groups and the shadows. I'm talking about governments, CEOs, presidents, prime ministers, queens and kings of this world called black nobility are into the witchcraft as a matter of policy, a matter of your Pentagon. They don't call it a Pentagon for nothing. The Star of David, the hexagon. The Pentagon, a pentagram and hexagram. Star of David, our stars and stripes. It's all based on witchcraft. Every country, Islam, the moon and star. Allah is a moon god. The star is the morning star, is Lucifer. Family, this is every country. This is not just, it's every religion. See, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, whatever, is based on hiding Jesus Christ. Christianity talks about him, but they hide it in very clever ways. Jesus Christ in the King James Bible is not about Christianity. Christianity is a religion created by the Vatican in the 4th century by Constantine at the Council of Nicaea. Being a Christian, following Jesus, is not about a religion. It's not about religion. It's about what's in your heart, your soul, your spirit. A church is not four walls or a name of an entity-ism or whatever. It's in your heart, where two or more are gathered in my name. Catholic Church, that's the church, not Catholic Church, a Catholic religion. I'm talking to the Catholic Church, y'all. I'm telling the Catholic Church. I'm telling the Pope. You can't excommunicate anybody. Mormons, you can't excommunicate anybody. You have no right. You have no authority. What do you excommunicate? What do you excommunicate? You've got to be kidding me. You have no authority. Zero. None. Pope, you have none. You're a man in a robe. All three of you. Black Pope, white Pope, gray Pope. Pope on a rope. Your pastors, ministers, they follow the Freemasons, or they follow the 501c3 church, or they use corrupted Bibles. Family, when they talk about the falling away, we're not talking about apples in the fall. We're talking about the church is falling away. It's already been prepared long ago. Jesus Christ is about redemption and salvation of your soul. No other religious icon of any sort will stand up to God, who came down in flesh, died on the cross, rose again, and is coming back in his glorified body. It's not about religion. And the only book he left us, the only true word of God that literally goes back to creation, is the King James Bible. 1 John 5, verse 7, the word. There's three that bear witness. God the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but it's a Trinity, and the Holy Spirit are all one with different assignments. You might say different parts of God, three different dimensional capacities of God. It's a mystery for humans because we don't have the dimensional capacity to understand it. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not a creator. He is. Why do I even have to care about it? Except to learn about it and love him for it. But to understand it, it's impossible. It's not possible. So we try to chip away and chip away at this one called God, this entity called God, to where we can understand him. It's like trying to pour the ocean into a pint cup. It's not going to happen. We don't have the mental capacity. As a matter of fact, Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angels, the demonic realm, they don't have the supernatural mental capacity to understand the whole mind of God. It's impossible. What do I mean by dimensional capacity? The worst case example would be a snail versus a human. A next best case would be a monkey, what they call a soul, S-O-U-L, soul, I-S-H, a soulish animal that has a soul that's created to have some kind of companionship with mankind. Now, you can't have a companionship with a possum. You can't have a companionship with a ground squirrel. They're not soulish animals, necessarily. A pet. Be a cat, a dog, animals that can think. But trust me, they're not going to meet you for dinner and drive there. You understand? So you have different dimensional capacities of living things. A plant is a living thing. Has a different dimensional capacity. A worm is a living thing. Obviously, a different dimensional capacity. Well, mankind is of a dimensional capacity that we have a hard time understanding the supernatural. So when you see it, it's like, man, it's a major heart attack. Whoa, where'd that come from? It materialized out of nowhere. No, it changed frequency vibration to the frequency vibration of where you are on this earth. What's it based on? 186,000 miles per second. It slows down its vibrational capacity, molecules, protons, whatever, to where now you can see it because it's slower. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. See, they got us believing, you know, the novices and the physics and all that, that Einstein's theory equals mc squared. Energy is equal to mass times the speed of light squared. What's speed of light? 186,000 miles per second. Mass squared. Well, what that formula is really saying is that when you add energy and you change the speed of it with energy, you'll change the vibrational capacity of the mass. So if you increase the speed of light to, say, 500,000 miles per second, 1 million, that's going to affect the mass. But you need enough energy. That's what it's talking about. So that's how they go from portal to portal, by changing that vibration by energy. Yeah, that's what E equals MC squared means. It's not a train going fast, or, you know, the spaceship goes so fast and comes back and you're aged and it's not and all that. That's got something to do with it, but really the formula identifies how the demonic realm can attain physical capacity and then go back to its original by different DNA, different particles. That's what, it's always complicated, quantum physics. Well, they can manipulate their particle vibrations to change their mass to anything they want, up to a certain point. Translating your body like God translated Enoch. You see? God can do that. He created everything, so he can change the vibrational capacity of that body. Anytime he wants to, with his energy, is beyond our imagination and dimensional capacity. So he translated Enoch. That means he changed the vibrational capacity of his body. Jesus did it on his own because he is God incarnate in human flesh. Whole different dimensional capacity. Well, man wants to achieve that ability to have this dimensional capacity. You know what that means? Man to become as God. To find ways. To find enough energy. But see, the human flesh can't handle it. Because you're made of carbon. iron. So if you increase the energy, guess what? And you burn. It's called spontaneous combustion. When you're not prepared to do your alchemy transition to be indwelled by a demonic entity and all that, and you're not prepared for it, you burn up from the inside out. Now you know what witchcraft can do to you. Why your bodies are affected. They know how to synthesize the dimensional capacity to a certain extent. But what they do is they've weaponized it to allow the demonic realm to come inside your body. It's simply called possession or channeling. So therefore, they must be able to manipulate the body particles of your body to be able to receive that energy. That's why in your seances and all that stuff, they hold hands. Because that spaces out the energy so that that seance leader won't burn up like a Roman candle. That's why the ones that take the bath salts, that new drug, whatever the heck it is, and they strip off their clothes, run naked in the street, like we say down south, run naked out in the woods. Well, you notice they all that take the bath salts, they get naked and run around, chewing on people and eating them up like they would a steak sandwich. Because that demon that's equal to the dimensional capacity, the frequency vibration of that drug finds a portal inside that body that other demons won't find, but that one will. They can identify it. This is scientific. And that demon comes inside that body, therefore heats up the body because of the demonic entities entered into it. Increases the heat of the body. It can damage the body. Now you see how it works? It can burn the brain. Destroy the inside because your carbon-based body can't handle all that energy. However, the fallen angels, they can. You know why? Because their DNA is made of copper. You, as human beings, are carbon, iron, water, other things, of course. But the basic makeup of a body is carbon. The makeup of the physical bodies of the fallen angels, sons of God of the Old Testament, or copper. So copper wire lasts longer than iron filaments, don't it? Well, same thing with DNA. But they need life force energy. Well, I'm setting you up for what I'm going to talk about today. I'm not just blabbing, flopping my lips. I'm setting you up for what I'm going to talk about today. For them to change shapes, they have to have high degree of energy, ELF, internal energy, to change the shape of their physical form. But they have to obtain life force energy from death, destructions, train wrecks, weather patterns that's been manipulated by HARP and all kinds of different things going on to create energy, a massive amount of energy that somehow or another they absorb. To be able to allow them to manipulate their body structure. To turn into anything they want. Dragons or UFOs or animals or something. You see how it works? The reality of it? So these supernatural movies that you see and where a witch turns into an animal, that's actually real. But these are fallen angels. These are demonic that can manipulate their physical structure. But for them to communicate with you, for them to communicate on this plane of the physical world, they have to take a flesh body, whether it's a human, animal. They can actually possess physical objects. Oh, it's cursed. We got a ghost here. It's not a ghost. It's a demon. I saw my Aunt Martha. She came back. No. No. They're demonic. Remember what I've said. We'll be coming back to this a little later. Well, I can't even say I've scratched the surface. But I've given you a basic idea. Oh, we'll be back at it. Lord, we thank you today for being able to broadcast, Father. We are appreciative. We thank you for giving us this network, Lord, in the way that you did. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins And Lord, we thank you for your word contained in the King James Bible. Father, guide us today. That, Father, we'll cover those subjects today and tonight in the Bible study and today in the broadcast. That, Father, those words you want to be put out, that you'll guide me today. Father, you'll guide those listening. That, Father, then ways that we can share among each other in different ways. That, Father, you'll give us that discernment and wisdom. And to be able to pass that on to others, that it'll bring them to knowledge of what they can do in this world to make things better or to go against Satan, spiritual warfare, and the weapons that we have in our arsenal of spiritual warfare. We thank you, Father, for our families, and Lord, we pray that you'll bring families together like you have. We thank you, Father, for these miracles, how the word gets out, that you use the Holy Spirit to bring people together, to allow them to think the same things, that the fervent prayer of someone righteous, that, Father, you hear that prayer, that you work through us. Father, we thank you for that. We know that day is coming, Lord, that judgment day, that tribulation period, Father, but we just ask, Lord, you cover us with the blood of Jesus that guides us along, protects us until the time it comes that you take us back. Father, we pray for those that don't know you, that, Father, the divine appointment will be set up. People can witness. Missionaries will be successful. And those that are in these churches that are falling away, that, Father, you'll find those that raise those churches back up again. Father, we pray for veterans. We pray for those veterans that's hearing those voices in their head from the technology that's being orchestrated on them, that, Lord, you'll bring whistleblowers out to tell them about this technology, this mind control that's being put upon them. And the Father, to bring to awareness the suicides that's going on. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the enlightenment, the wisdom, the discernment that you're giving groups fight these United Nations programs that are targeting our children. And Lord, we see you on the move. We see that you're bringing groups against this UN, against these world governments. These world government procrastinators. And Father, we thank you for this. We pray for children, Lord, because they are being targeted. And we pray that in those that's being kidnapped for these abductions and rituals and sacrifice, that, Lord, that you'll find ways for them to escape, or, Father, to give them comfort in the time of their trouble and to give families comfort. The tragedies be used, Lord, to bring people together, to have it reversed, and to spread your Holy Spirit on these churches, the synagogues and cathedrals, to bring the truth to your body of Christ. That's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The thought is, our thoughts, our beliefs establish our reality. How come they can't do that? They haven't yet they believe it. Doesn't happen, though. Are they waiting for something? The bus to come, I guess, or something? What? What are they waiting on? What model have they found? Anton LaVey? No. Houdini? No. Blavatsky? No. Buddha? No. Krishna? Mm-mm. Not a one. Where's Nimrod at? Gone. Now, cloning, that's a whole different ballgame. A great deception is coming. Be prepared. Spiritually, get your house in order. It could be, who knows, 2015, 16, 17. It could be in the fall, a financial reset. It could be a nuclear bomb goes off. Who knows? Whatever. You know? If you're afraid of death, you're afraid of life. Simple as that. You walk around afraid to live. Ignoring it, ignoring the truth, is not going to make it just change. Well, my regular listeners, you know, I've been harping and harping and harping. I pray for children, and I'm sure everybody does, and I pray for awareness, and I pray for our veterans, and I just don't stop it. And neither does a lot of other people. I'm nobody special. But I've been praying for the longest time, and I've been on different programs, shows as a guest more than once, different places on my own. I've been harping and hammering about the UN, about the international rights of the child. I've done programs on them. I've identified certain articles where they, in fact, are going to take your children away from you. I've talked about the international rights of the child that was trying to be passed by Hillary Clinton. In 1989, or being signed, she was promoting it in 1989, and they failed to get it signed by America, thank God. But other countries did sign off on international rights of the child in 1990. It was ratified, but not by America. Congratulations. That was a wave back. Americans were not ready for it then. They had to work on us. They had to manipulated, let no crisis go to waste, to get us to the point that we would even tell our senators, man, sign that thing. Why? Because they want to show you on the news how children are being abused, beaten, raped, killed, murdered, all kinds of things. And if they're not happening, they're going to make it happen. Or they're going to lie in the media, because the media is in fact controlled by the Illuminati. Who? The Council of Foreign Relations. And that's a fact. You will not refute. And you have Joint Chief of Staff. They're no more patriots. I don't know what happened to them. Is it the first star, second, or third star of a general, or is it the colonel? I don't know. Somewhere there, they get a lobotomy. Maybe the Naval Hospital or Army Hospital, they give them a lobotomy when they become a colonel or a general, one star. But they, to put them in a blood oath, called the Knights of Malta. And then they line them up as a general. Now, if they don't want to do it, they have to retire, or they're set up as a sexual assault, or I don't know, something will come up and they got to retire. They got to leave. They got to go away because they're not taking that blood oath of the Knights of Malta or the Knights of Columbus or a Jesuit or whatever they want them to do. Notice that. Oh, it's very significant. The Council of Foreign Relations is the Illuminati. Rockefeller's formed it in 1921. Cheney was a director of it for a time. Clinton was part, all of them, all goes all the way back to FDR, all the way back to Woodrow Wilson. Look up this Council of Foreign Relations. I'm not going there. That's a rabbit trail I went down many times. But back to the international rights of the child. That's one of the initiatives of the United Nations. And when they get that thing ratified, because the UN General Assembly approved the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, and the 20th nation ratified that treaty on September the 2nd, 1990. That means since September the 2nd, 1990, that treaty is now in force. But the United States did not sign the convention. But there's been pressure from Hillary Bob Clinton, I call her, and others to ratify this international nightmare. And the treaty, in fact, gives further ownership of all children to the state and the United Nations. It will undermine the authority of the parents to raise their children and replaces it with a panel of UN experts, Child Protective Service, to steal your children, and a national police force enacted to do it. That's coming. Billy Bob Clinton talked about this in communitarianism. Yeah, buddy. I learned me a new word, communitarianism. But they got this communitarianism, a philosophy that's up to humanism, and they set up at the same time, about 1941, this communitarianism, about the same time, 1841, about the same time that Clinton Roosevelt wrote The Science of Government, founded on natural law. And so they came up with this communitarianism and all the precepts and tenets that go with it to confuse the whole issue. So when everybody talks about communitarianism, it makes them look like they're educated, but all it is philosophy to confuse you, to keep you distracted. Look how educated I am. I can say, sort of, communitarianism. And you say the precepts of it. And it's just philosophical nonsense. Oh, it does describe the processes. But when you read the definition of it, it just goes round in circles. But when you get rid of it and stop discussing the stupid thing and find out it's nothing but philosophy of the communism, socialism, Marxism, you get right down to the root of what really is going on, and that's humanism. See, that's what communitarianism is all about. It's to confuse you and take you away from the truth about humanism. Now, when you say, so we're talking about the common doctrines and goals of secular humanism, Marxism and Leninism. Yeah. What are they? Well, then it gets right down to brass tacks. Deny the existence of God. Deny the existence of a soul. Deny the existence of absolute moral laws. Deny the existence of any inalienable rights, including those as if we had the Constitution, which we don't. Oh, we don't have a Constitution, family. They're lying out there. And the others are deceived. It was eliminated in 1938. Anyway, and we've never been a democracy, confirmed by FDR in 1939. Do these lawyers learn anything in college? Do they ever? Anyway, so they deny the sanctity of individual human life. What does that mean? Abortion? Legalizing it? Well, at the same time, they're going to try to stop the death penalty. Oh, they're a tricky bunch. There's a reason for that, too. They claim that they can only be successful in their, and you're going to hear this word come up more on TV and stuff, utopia, by establishing a world government or new world order. Everybody from Clinton all around, all the way back to Adam Weishaupt, 1700, every president talks about the new world order. They're all part of it. And they believe the traditional family must be eliminated to obtain world peace. Unquote. Yeah. That's right. So now we get down to it. So now you think of the programs, the articles, the movements, the legislation that supports the denial of existence of God. Let's get specific. NAACP, ACLU, get rid of the Ten Commandments from court steps. Now we're talking about things. Passed now in 19 states. Homosexual marriage supports, believe the traditional family must be eliminated in order to attain world peace. You see, they are passing these steps. They're making these movements. They're putting in the news. They have these movements that I've just named, formed up by the Jesuits, to carry through with these doctrines and goals that's going to affect your life. You don't think it affects your life? Well, let's see. Billy Bob Clinton in the 1990s said, from now on, when you recruit Marines or Army, whoever, don't ask, don't tell. That's got to be the silliest thing ever. So what was the Joint Chief of Staff doing? Sitting on their hands? What if all four or five, six, seven of them said, wait a minute, we're not going to have this. And American people, but they didn't do that because they have taken a blood oath against you. They're part of this agenda. So Billy Bob Clinton said, don't ask, don't tell anymore. Now, I was a recruiting officer in the 1970s in Buffalo, New York, as a first lieutenant. In the disco era, yeah, I was in Buffalo. That was dangerous. Are you homosexual? You ever had them? Yes, you did. Oh, well, you're not eligible. Bye-bye. But now, in 1990s, you say no. You don't even say a word. You don't even ask them. They won't tell you. You don't ask. That's the silliest thing I ever heard. Anyway, so it fell upon either Bush or Obama, that's already been chosen as president before they even have the elections. Oh, that's a fact, too. Anyway, so the president's chosen long before he even gets to high school. That's another story. So it fell upon Obama to say, now you can just come out and say you're homosexual. Well, homosexuals in the military is there to reduce the effectiveness of the military, to bring women into combat units, frontline combat units. So we'll start off artillery units. Is going to reduce the effectiveness of the military. You've already have major leaders resigning, retiring, getting out because of it. So does it affect our lives? Well, let's see. Since this happened, you've had 15,000 male sexual assaults on male in the year 2011 or 12. You've had about 11,000 male to female sexual assaults. I'd say that affected quite a few people, don't you? Does it affect your family? Well, when they start combining your boys' bathroom and girls' bathroom in your high schools, I think that's liable to affect your family. Do you think maybe so? Because that's part of it right there. So you don't think this doesn't affect your life? I got news for you, partners. It affects you right down to your home, right on your address, and your children's livelihood. But nobody, few people, are paying attention to it. However, I know for a fact that Belgium passed. Now, while I'm talking, if you don't believe me, man, you look it up. Prove me wrong. The Child Euthanasia Act, legislation to allow your children to kill themselves if they're disabled. If they want to die, I'm just tired of this. Mama, I just want to die. I don't want you to have to work, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you got it? No, honey, we'll take care of you. It's okay. No, I want to die. I've got my mind made up. You can't touch, you can't stop them, or you're going to go to jail. That's a fact. You don't believe me? You better look it up right now. Well, I've been talking about this for over 3 years, about the international rights of the child. It's sneaking up on you. Now, in Oregon, I've been saying this over and over and over. They're the lead state that's going to pass the Child Euthanasia Act. I'm not sure what they call it exactly. To allow children under the age of 18 to elect to kill themselves. Belgium, they're going to use Belgium's model for it. You got four, five, six states or so ready to jump on it once it's passed and made federal. I think it's pretty important to know about this, but maybe some people don't. But I found out recently some people do. I found an article. You see, what's going to happen when they pass the International Rights of the Child? The UN controls your children over you. And they pass the Child Euthanasia Act, and other states jump on it exactly in the same legal methodology that they use for same-sex marriage. One state passes it, another state, they have it all set up, like a strategy going on. You see how it works? An NAACP or ACLU will sue somebody. Then here comes the federal government. Then they'll say, well, we'll give them 100 couples to marry. Oops, well, we better stop it. Oh, we already got 100 couples married. So the federal government steps in. That's the legal games they play to get it passed. Well, they're doing the same thing with the Child Euthanasia Act. That's how they do it. That's the technique that the legal guys do. Luciferians. Secret societies. So now they pass the Child Euthanasia Act. Then they sign the UN Treaty on the Rights of the Child. And the two together, you can't touch your kid when he wants to kill himself or herself. We say, well, and I've had people actually tell me recently, said, well, Tom, you know, you know, if they really are disabled and they, well, no, when you commit suicide, you're going to hell. You're damning your soul. We don't have a right. Our bodies are not ours. Your kids are not yours. They belong to God. He created you, created me, created them. We didn't create them. You just had fun making them. And so he created, he gave them the soul. You didn't. He did. We're bought with a price. Our bodies are even our own. Everything on this planet, everything in this universe belongs to God. Man, we're renters in our body. We're renters in this universe. We're not owners. So when you do self-murder, that's against God. He's not going to say, well, okay, I go along with it. You can come on up here. I know you're tired and you killed yourself and you took the pills. You blew your head off. Okay, come on. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. Can you imagine if the theology was presented that it's okay if to commit suicide, you get to hell quicker, or get to heaven quicker? Can you imagine? If it was actually a doctrine that God put out that said natural death, but if you kill yourself for one reason or another, I'll still take you. Can you imagine? The Ouija board is causing children to kill themselves. The internet, being bullied by the internet, is causing children to kill themselves. Drugs. Oh, the fake fraud, ADHD. It's a lie. To get psychotropic drugs in your kids. The drugs open up portals, allowing possession to be demonized. That's what they're doing. And these psychologists and doctors, they know it. They know it. That's why a lot of them are Freemasons at the highest level. Some of them, a lot of them are satanic. They're warlocks. And you have Masons that are warlocks at the same time. I know Westcott and Hort were back in the 1870s that corrupted the Bibles of today, except for the King James. I know for a fact there's two judges in Winder, Georgia that are Freemasons, and they are ordained warlocks on the bench. This is common. Pat Buchanan is a Knight of Malta. Bill Bob Clinton. Leonard Horowitz. Churchill. Mandela, that murderer. He's a Knight of Malta. Rick Joyner. Jerry Boykin. These are Knights of Malta. Man, they're dangerous. This is about witchcraft. Well, prayers are answered. July the 23rd, that was 2 days ago. A Christian group warns UN Treaty on Persons with Disabilities can override will of the parents. Thank God that he answers prayers. That's getting something done. Now, you got people like Jerry Boykin, and you got people like Rick Joyner, and others saying, we got to have a military takeover of the U.S. government. What a bunch of nonsense. Takeover by who? You don't have anybody. Ron Paul's a Rosicrucian. All the rest of them are not submitted to Freemasons at the highest level. You don't have anybody. There is nobody. Anybody. Whatever. You got the point. You don't have anybody. And never have. In Percival, Virginia, a Christian homeschooling organization is warning about the treaty approved this week by the United Nations Foreign Relations Committee. May take the rights of the parents to make decisions about their child's care, about them being disabled. See, it's going to start off as being disabled. But when you add the Ouija board, you add the drugs, you add the ADHD, you add all that together, they know that's coming, but you all don't. It's going to go beyond children with disabilities. See, you could debate it. The child with disabilities is causing his quality of life to be, so it's really better to just kill him. I say, what? Maybe that disability is to strengthen the parents for their love, to strengthen the parents for their patience. Maybe God put that there for a reason. And I'll tell you something else. When you belong four generations back to Freemasons, witchcraft, any kind like that, that curse is carried on the family for four generations. I hate to tell you, but I got to tell you. Oh, yeah. Whatever it is, you have an innocent child there that will bring people together because you're working together for this soul. And what the good it does sometimes when people see the example of love and patience. See, God works amazing ways. Well, now when you say, well, you know, his quality of life and all this, just let him kill himself. Now, that's what it boils down to. Condemnation of death, death penalty just for being disabled. Well, it's not going to stop there. The Ouija board, right now, you don't believe me? You look it up. I dare you. I challenge you to look up the deaths caused suicides by Ouija board. Go ahead. You can puff. You can wrinkle your nose and look up and say, oh, yeah. But I double dog dare you to challenge it. And you do it right now. And you look at the suicides caused by this Ouija board. And you tell me it's just a game. Now, you can leave my broadcast if you want to and say, this guy's crazy. But I challenge you to actually do the research, because your child's life may depend on it. Because they got a pink Ouija board now. That's to invite the youth. Now, how dangerous could a pink Ouija board be? It's pink. Yeah, well, I went to Robbie's military surplus to buy some things the other day. I did. Make some keys and whatever. And I saw a pink 9mm handgun. And I saw a pink rifle. I did. It's ugly. But it's pink. So I guess it's not lethal. I could shoot somebody with a pink weapon. It wouldn't hurt him, right? It'd kill him. That's what it would. The color don't matter. It's what it is that matters. And why would they make it pink unless they really want to bring the youth in? Y'all better wake up out there. It's not woke, awake. Well, July 23rd, right there it is. On Tuesday, the committee voted to challenge the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child with Disabilities. Republican McCain and John something who approved the proposal. The treaty aims to provide protections for disabled persons worldwide. It says, some state that the means in which to carry out the United Nations interests are flawed and oppressive. Michael Ferris, founder and chairman of the Home School, which they hate, Legal Defense Association, opened, they've been the globalists hate the homeschooling because they can't control your kids that way. Opined in a press release this past week that the treaty can be used by government officials to override the will of parents by citing the agreement clause referencing the best interest of the child. Family, I've been preaching about this for 3 years, and thank God Almighty somebody's doing something. Now, I don't know where they got the idea. Maybe somebody else figured it out. Maybe they heard my broadcast. Maybe they somebody said, wait a minute. I don't know. I don't care. As long as they got something going on, that's all that matters. Look it up. It says, quote, the title, Group warns UN treaty on persons with disability can override the will of parents. Jump on the bandwagon. And then have them to focus on Oregon. Get your minds off Malaysia flight. Get your minds and eyes off of TV and Dancing with the Stars. And that stupid golf game and whatever else you got going on in Hilton Head. And get your butts on up to Oregon. Otherwise, they're going to take your children away from you because it's going to go way beyond children with disabilities. It doesn't stop there. I know how these people think. I know exactly how they think. They're going after your kids all the way around. And they'll use that internet to do it. They're just focusing on disabilities. It will not stop there. You see, and jump on that wagon. And let me tell you something else they don't want you to know. They're not going to launch this New World Order in that one day, until everything is in place. So all you got to do is knock a couple of spokes out of the wheel, and they got problems. It's like the guy, you know, you saw, well, some of y'all may not know Ed Sullivan. Maybe in archives you do. Or those shows, maybe on America's Got Talent, whatever, where they have those sticks up on a table and make those plates spin, right? Got another spinning, right? Another spinning. And then this starts going down. You go back and you got the... Well, that's what they're doing. So that's what they got, different objectives for different areas. Which areas? Well, I've told y'all dozens of times. They control the seven Ashram rays, education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance. They control all seven areas. Actually, 10. There's additional ones, but... And they have objectives, milestones, leaders in each one. Well, they operate from Bilderberg, Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, Council of Foreign Relations, hint, hint, Royal Institute of National Affairs, Gorbachev Foundation, Club of Rome. That's called the Round Table. Those are the groups you focus on. It ain't Jews. It ain't Muslims. These are white boys that are wealthy, and they're in secret societies, and they took a blood oath to kill you. And they're maybe your next-door neighbor. They're Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. High-level Freemasons, the lower-level Freemasons, 90%, 95%, man, they don't have a clue one. It's like peeling an onion. Each layer knows more than the outer layer each time you peel it. That's exactly what's going on today. But now, this is how you do it. You knock out a couple spokes of the wheel. I know how these people work. I know how they think. And these people do too. You knock out a couple spokes of their wheel. They got a problem. You pray fervently. You work to be righteous. You do the right thing and God will extend it. Well, I just want to get it over with and done. No, the more it extends, the more people can be reached by God through the gospel. That's what it's all about. They know this trick. They know that if they get enough states to approve homosexual marriage, enough states to approve abortion, enough states to approve drugs, and you go the laws to change against the Bible, oh, man, you're pulling out cards by the left and right till that house is going to fall. Because the laws of the land go against God's laws. Now you got a serious problem. Individuals is one thing. But when you change the laws of the land to go against the laws of God, he's going to move out of the way and Satan's going to say, okay, I got you. And he's coming. and God will let him bring judgment upon whatever country it is. Family, what I'm telling you is the absolute truth. I'm not in this for me at all. I'll do my broad, man, I work alone except for friends and around. Some I've met, some I've never met, whatever, that send me articles. We talk and exchange. That's all. I don't have any secret connection to the Pentagon. I wouldn't trust the suckers anyway, or the State Department, or some former Marine that's working. I don't have any, none of that, zero. I wouldn't trust them anyway. I do my own work. I hardly ever listen to anybody else, any other shows. I do my own work, my own analysis. I read, connect dots, etc., etc. But I have other people like us, like me, that we do all that, we analyze. What do you think about that? We think about that. Oh, yeah, well, I agree with you. Well, back and forth, informally. You see, I don't have any fantastic connection to any government agency. None of them. I don't want them. I trust the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit brings people together that the internet has no idea. And they don't either, you see. So you can think something and say, well, this is my idea. But see, somebody else has thought it up because the Holy Spirit gave them the idea also. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And Satan, oh, yeah, I should tell you. You see, Satan has always tried to tap into a born-again Christian. And the way he does it is have that born-again Christian to put a spell upon themselves by lust, by anger, by drugs, by yoga, by other certain means of opening up portals, allowing a demonic entity to come inside their thoughts. Oh, this is true. And that's how they try to find out what God's up to, because they don't have discernment or wisdom. Not there. So they want to tap into a born-again Christian that does, but only through the Holy Spirit, to find out what God's up to, because they don't know. That's the big act going on today. That's why he wants to get inside a born-again Christian's mind, to find out what God's passing on. This is the war going on. It's called spiritual warfare. The way you fight it is putting on the full armor of God. You've been warned by a great man, and I'll let him warn you again.
Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God.
He warned us. God will do it. He did it to Israel. He'll do it to America. And another great man who wasn't a Freemason, in a 19-minute speech, of which I want to give you the short version, also warned us. And he also died like the Martin Luther King at the hands of the Jesuits and the secret societies murdered King, Malcolm X, Bobby Kennedy, and JFK. Let's make it simple. And there's another man that said something, and in the short version, he warns you, and it's not about communism. It's about secret societies, secret proceedings. He told the truth.
President John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
Martin Luther King, John Lennon, Princess Diana, Vannevar Bhutto, Tupac, Dr. David Kelly, William Cooper, Barry Jennings.
No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed,
JFK.
No secret is revealed. No president should fear
Abraham Lincoln.
The scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign. but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Who else are we talking about here that's on our side that the government murdered? I got another one for you. Georgia State Senator Nancy Schaefer talks about Child Protective Service. She is murdered with her husband. Made it look like murder-suicide. Child Protective Service, get your children.
Our next speaker is Senator Nancy Schaefer. Nancy? Oh, there you are. Yes, Nancy is a longtime Eagle Forum member and leader. She has had an organization called Family Concerns, which was very effective all over the state of Georgia, and another one called Family Concerns Pregnancy Center. She has been in the Georgia State Senate for several terms and is a member of 6 Senate committees. Please welcome our good friend, Senator Nancy Schaefer.
Thank you, dear Phyllis, and thank you to all of you. I have served in the Georgia State Senate for 4 years. One of my greatest pleasures, other than my sonogram bill, was getting the resolution passed to stop the North American Union. However, for 4 years, I have been confronted with families struggling to remove their children from the clutches of Child Protective Services. I wrote a scathing report last year on the corruption in Child Protective Services, and an update and copies are out on the table. During the last session of the Georgia General Assembly, I introduced Senate Bill 415 relating to juvenile proceedings, and copies of that bill are attached to the report on the tables. The bill 415 called for the time allotted for the Department of Human Resources to provide emergency care to a child without a court order to be reduced from 7 days to 72 hours. It required a court order to enter the residence of a parent or guardian to seize a child. It called for family court to be open to the public. Confidentiality and secrecy in family court protects the wrong people. It provided that immunity in the system shall not extend to the seizures of children that are found to be in violation, nor to the administration of medication to a child over the objection of the parent or custodian, and it provided the state from applying for obtaining, receiving, or accepting adoption incentive payments under the Federal Adoption and Safe Families Act of 1997. The Department of Child Protective Services has become a protected empire built on taking children and separating families. This is not to say that there are not those children who do need to be removed from wretched situations and need protection. However, my report is concerned with the children and parents caught up in legal kidnapping. Having worked with probably 300 cases statewide and hundreds across the country, and in nearly every state, I am convinced there is no accountability in Child Protective Services. I have come to several conclusions. Two or three are, one, that poor parents, not always, but oftentimes, are targeted to lose their children because they do not have the wherewithal to hire an attorney and fight the system. That caseworkers and social workers are very often guilty of fraud. They withhold and destroy evidence. They fabricate evidence, and they seek to terminate parental rights unnecessarily. That the separation of families and the snatching of children is growing as the business grows because state and local governments have grown accustomed to having these taxpayer dollars to balance their ever-growing budgets. That the bureaucracy is huge. Look at who is getting paid. State employees, attorneys, court investigators, guardian ad litems, court personnel and judges. There are psychologists, therapists, psychiatrists, counselors, foster parents, adoptive parents, and on, all are looking to the children in state custody to provide job security. That the Adoption and the Safe Families Act, set in motion first in 1974 by Walter Mondale and later in 1997 by President Bill Clinton, offered cash bonuses to the states for every child they adopted out of foster care. In order to receive the adoption incentive bonuses, local child protective services would need more children. They must have merchandise that sells, and they must have plenty so the buyer can choose. Some counties often offer $4,000 to $6,000 bonus for each child adopted out to strangers, and an additional $2,000 for a special needs child. Employees work to keep the federal dollars flowing. But that is only the beginning figure in the formula in which each bonus is multiplied by the percentage that the state has managed to exceed its baseline adoption number. Therefore, states and local communities work hard to reach their goals for increased numbers of adoptions for children in foster care. As you can see, this program is offered from the very top and is run by Health and Human Resources. This is why victims in Child Protective Services get no help from their legislators. It explains why my bill, Senate 415, suffered such defeat in the Judicial Committee, and why I was cut off at every juncture, and why I was defeated myself last month for my re-election by another Republican. That tax dollars are being used to keep this gigantic system afloat. Many grandparents have called me to get custody of their grandparents before being lost in the system. Grandparents who lose their grandchildren to strangers have lost their own flesh and blood. The children lose their family heritage, and grandparents, and parents too, lose the connection of their heirs. And that the National Center on Child Abuse and Neglect in 1998 reported that 6 times more children died in foster care than in the general public, and that once removed to official safety, these children are far more likely to suffer abuse, including sexual molestation, than in the general population. Think what that number is today, 10 years later. Here are a couple of the recommendations on my list. Call for an independent audit of all state child protective services and for a federal congressional hearing on child protective services. Abolish the federal and state financial incentives that have turned child protective services into a business that separates families for money. I have witnessed such injustice and harm brought to so many families that I'm not sure if reform of the system is even possible. The system cannot be trusted. It does not serve the people. It obliterates families and children simply because it has the power to do so. What I have said to you in these few minutes is that we must confront the fraud in Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services seizes children using the very system that is paid for by the taxpayer who actually believes it is used to protect abused and neglected children. The bureaucracy of workers benefit financially by a system that converts children into cash while destroying their families and their lives. No child who emerges from the system can ever be sound or whole. Many disappear and never are ever heard from again. God will not stand for what is happening to our children and our families. His heart beats for these children. He will lift up the downtrodden. What is happening in America regarding child protective services is a criminal political phenomenon, and it must be brought to an end. Please join me in working to help set our children and our families free, to whom much is given, much is required. As you pray for this nation, pray for the upcoming election, and for our national financial crisis, please pray for our children and for our families. We all must press on and win this race for America. Thank you very much.
Do you understand how?
Okay. That was one, two, three, one after the other. She died. She was killed. Murdered by her husband. Shot in the back while she slept. He shot himself. They can't determine in the head or the chest. They were murdered by the Jesuits. Who, CIA? I don't know. CIA. It doesn't make any difference. It's with the government agencies. The same ones that killed all the rest of them. And there's another one. We're on a roll. That also opened up. And he was killed by cancer. See, they can give you cancer and you can be dead in 30 days or later. That's how it works. There's another one. This one.
He's at the house.
Russo.
Talking
about Rockefeller.
And he started laughing. He said, Aaron, what do you think women's liberation was about? And
women's liberation.
I had pretty conventional thinking about it at that point. I said, I think it's about women having the right to work, getting equal pay with men, just like they won the right to vote, you know? And he started to laugh. He said, you're an idiot. And I said, why am I an idiot? He said, let me tell you what that was about. We, the Rockefellers, funded that. We funded women's lib, you know? And we're the ones who got all of the newspapers and television, the Rockefeller Foundation. He says, and you want to know why? He says, there were two primary reasons. And they were, one reason was, we couldn't tax half the population before women's lib. And the second reason was, now we get the kids in school at an early age. We can indoctrinate the kids how to think. It breaks up their family. The kids start looking at the state as the family, as the school, as the officials, as their family, not as the parents teaching them. And so those are the two primary reasons for women's lib, which I thought up to that point was a noble thing. You know, when I saw their intentions behind it, where they were coming from when they created it, the thought of it, I saw the evil behind what I thought was a noble adventure.
Aaron, did you know that Gloria Steinem, in one of her own books, now admits the CIA funded Miss Magazine?
No, I had no idea about that. No, I never heard that.
Yeah, we're going to...
CIA funded Miss Magazine?
Funded Miss Magazine with the stated goal of taxing women and breaking up the family.
No kidding. I never heard that. Well, Nick told me. I mean, I know it, but not because I know the CIA was involved in it.
Well, Gloria Steinem was proud of it. Oh, the CIA wanted to help me help women.
No kidding.
So they funded it. Yeah, and of course it's divide and conquer.
Right,
and
of course.
And what they do is they focus in, obviously, on real problems. Women were getting shafted in many ways, but the elite wasn't planning to help them. They were planning to really shaft them and take men away from them. Look at what they did with black families. You only had about 10% illegitimacy 50 years ago. In black communities, and now it's over 90%. And look at welfare. You were going to give you some money, but you can't have a man in the house.
Right.
And so that was further to degrade the family.
Yeah.
Totally destroyed. And now illegitimacy is over 50% in the general population.
Right. Well, see, the whole thing is these people control the money. So they make all the rules. You understand? And they put whatever rules they want into effect. And the truth is America has really become a socialist, communist country. And everybody says it's a capitalist country. It's not a capitalist country. You know, how can it be capitalistic when you have a central bank? That's the first. It can't be. You know,
it's a planned economy.
It's a planned economy. It's a phony. If they want to create prosperity, they just print dollars. They just make dollars or put digits into the economy, and then now you have prosperity. You don't have real prosperity. You don't have real manufacturing. You just have money being injected in. It's an infusion of credit,
which only makes the government go into more debt.
Into more debt.
He died of cancer after that. Actually, what's really interesting is Cooper, Bill Cooper, Russo, and Schaefer were all in one particular program. All three were murdered. Anyway, America becoming a socialist nation. Well, 1944, Socialist Party candidate for president of the United States, Norman Thomas said in a 1944 speech, he said, and I quote, in 1944, he said, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." He went on to say, "I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform," unquote. Martin Luther King knew when he said, "I fear we've been betrayed by both the Democrat and Republican Party." So the Democrat Party uses liberalism, as planned by the Illuminati, to destroy the nation from within. But the Republican Party, their role and goal and agenda working with the Democrat Party is to set up the wars to kill your children. Council of National Policy, it was formed later. Council of Foreign Relations sets up the wars. The Republican Party is a military-industrial complex. Democrat Party works the ACLU and NAACP, those kind of things, to make us socialist. The two parties work together. I'm work for none of them. Not even Liberal Party, not even Tea Party, not any kind of party, no kind of party. I work for Jesus Christ. I'm done. That's it. The Council of Foreign Relations, Republicans. Chicago Tribune, 1950. The two planned failures of two wars were already pre-planned to fail. Korea and Vietnam is already pre-planned. They knew who's going to win before 1950. You understand what I'm saying here? Quote, Chicago Tribune, 1950. It said, I quote, "The members of the council should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, that would be World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War." In fact, in the Korean War, the State Department ordered the 7th Fleet, American 7th Fleet, to blockade Chiang Kai-shek from crossing over from Formosa or Taiwan with 500,000 men. He was going to cross over and take China back. The State Department made sure that didn't happen by orders of the Vatican and the Illuminati to make sure that Chiang Kai-shek would not cross over and claim Red China as free. And they would have done it, thereby making sure the communists gained power, as ordered by the Vatican. Oh, I got quotes from General Douglas MacArthur. Quotes from General Lin Pao, a North Korean official. Many quotes from MacArthur confirming, and Joseph Martin, House Minority Leader. He said, and I quote, "If we're not in Korea to win, this administration should be indicted for the murder of thousands of American boys," unquote. Does that sound a little familiar? It's not just Obama. It's every single Merovingian bloodline president we've had in our history, except for McKinley, Lincoln, JFK, and almost Andrew Jackson. Family, this is a conspiracy. People have no idea. Of the Luciferian. They're into witchcraft. You understand how this is all connected? Vietnam was the same thing. I'm not going into all that detail. I've done it before. Well, I'm not done. Too bad I don't have 3 hours today. He confirms that feminism was created to destabilize society. So was homosexual marriage. So is abortion being approved, every bit of it. And the people involved in it, they don't know. Matter of fact, one objective of the establishment, as related by an engineer named Cumin. The new left make a lot of radical commotion so the corporate elitists can look more into the center as they move to the left. The pressure from a below tactic should be remembered by the reader the next time he sees a manipulated liberal morons who demonstrate against corporate globalism. Well, actually, your right-wing morons is the Council of National Policy. Left and right, two wings of a bird, which I can't say on the air of what kind of bird it really is. They both work together, both the Republican Party and Democrat Party. Seattle, at one time, was taken to the streets, and a demonstration played right into the hands of the corporate elite, who represent the pressure from above segment of the two-prong scissors strategy. So the experience that this one named Cumin, he describes was by no means unique. Consider a one-time student radical, Gary Kirk. The vita included membership in the SDS, the Black Panthers, the Communist Party, other subversive organizations. So in 1970s, for example, 1 year after his break with the Communist Party, Kirk presented testimony to the House and Senate internal security panels regarding the conspiracy's scissor strategy at work. Quote, young people have no conception of the conspiracy strategy of pressure from above and pressure from below. They have no idea that they are playing into the hands of the establishment they claim to hate. Quote, the radicals think they're fighting the forces of the super rich like Rockefeller and Ford, and they don't realize that it is precisely such forces which are behind their own revolution, financing it and using it for their own purposes, building the culture of death. You've been taught in your schools, and I've talked about this in broadcasts before, about the culture of death taught to the children, and that's meaning us. Going to gravestones and taking your little, you know, pen and, okay, and talking about death in schools. The schools are used. That's what Common Core and No Child Left Behind. No Child Left Behind because they couldn't get rid of homeschooling. Bush come up with No Child Left Behind to control the education system. And then when he went away, poo-poo, shoo-shoo, here comes Obama. And they're all working together. It's not just Obama. It's every doggone one of them. It's Common Core. With sneaky to teach the culture of death. Freemasons monitor it. Marxists at every college and university. Every college and university is, in fact, affected every discipline in socialist Marxist preachment. Every school, every public school, is a school of humanism. Unquote by, or quote by Charles Francis Potter, 1930. I got all the quotes, the dates, times, people, places. I'm not making nothing up. I'm not making anything up at all. I got quotes, dates, times, years, everything. This strategy Kirk described can be seen at work in about every significant assault upon America's traditional culture. It's particularly visible in the campaign to overturn legal protection for the unborn and to enshrine the death ethic of our society's standard. You see, the accepted history of the abortion revolution, author by Mary Meehan, wrote in the fall of 1998, issue of Human Life Review, dictates that all, quote, brave civil libertarians and women's rights advocates, encouraged by liberating currents of the 1960s, dared to raise the abortion issue in public and prompt serious debate about it. The U.S. Supreme Court gave them a huge victory in its 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. Meehan continues, quote, "A wealth of inside information is now available in private and government archives. Documents that abortion supporters received enormous aid from the American establishment over power elite." John D. Rockefeller III and his family and their foundations provided much of the money to advance the designs of the eugenicist movement. I got plenty more to talk about on this. I could keep going. Harriman, Mary Harriman, Baron E.M. Harriman, they're all involved. George Eastman of Eastman Kodak, Margaret Sanger, whatever, Birth Control League, Planned Parenthood, murderers, Child Protective Service, they work together. You know, 1939, Rockefeller Foundation, which was still financing the pro-Nazi, underwrote a secret project called Studies on American Interests in the War and the Peace, conducted by the Council of Foreign Relations on behalf of the U.S. State Department. The Rockefeller-funded initiative created the framework which would become the United Nations. Well, and I don't know sometimes how much I gotta present to get people's attention. I don't have to do any of this at all. I do it because I want to. I do it for free. That's what I do. And I'm done. I go the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. And it's what I do. Every hour that I can think of, as fast as I can go. I haven't stopped in 5 years. I was doing it way before that anyway, but family, the word's got to get out. I need help. And help is just passing the word. That's it. That's all. You know, it's just getting the word out and waking people up. You know? There's a long history of abortions being performed by practicing witches. This has come out in public many times. Blatant statements by the witches themselves. Patricia Baird Wendell, founder and owner of an abortion business called Aware Women. She was an avowed witch who raised a stink many years some time ago. Quote, "You practice your religion and let me practice mine. My religion is a holy ritual child sacrifice," unquote. And she got away with saying that because her abortion clinic is legal. In fact, she meant to make the news to promote one of her books, Targets of Hatred, Anti-Abortion Terrorism. It labels the pro-life position as fundamentalist fanatics endangering the lives of women, yada, yada, yada. And you know, yada, yada, yada is the name of a demon. Look it up. Isn't that amazing how this works? You look up, yada, yada, yada. You all thought that was, and it's so on, so on, so on, so on, right? No. Yada, yada, yada is a Buddhist-type demon. It's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, she's one of five that to show it's a religion, and they're proud of it. You see, abortion is about child sacrifice. It is the Mayans up to date. And you know they share this insanity. They claiming feminine power involves this initiation of taking the life she creates. That's how a woman graduates to goddess. Those in the entertainment world and other places into the occult, they have family members to die. That's how they advance. That's how they advance. You understand this? The Masonic maxim is true. Everything really is out there in plain sight, but people don't believe their eyes and ears. If they don't believe evil is real, and there's a non-human aspect to it. That's how everything that came out in broad daylight in the 1980s with the epidemic of Satanism. It already went down with the memory hole. It's gone. Comes up, it goes. It comes up, it goes down. Always having to start from scratch. trying to explain things, and they hope you forget about it by keeping you all busy. Abortion clinics are on the rise in Texas, and the legislative and governor closed down some of them by pulling state funding and from Planned Parenthood. So what we got here? I don't know what I was going to talk about today. I had an idea. I was going to talk about witchcraft. I have. I was going to talk about you and rights of the child. Oh, I did. I was going to talk about paganism and mind control. I have, I suppose. It's kind of putting together here as I'm sitting here. As the speakers were talking, and see, never say I never had guests today. Sort of. And I was playing the next step after the speeches were done today to the next level. I wasn't really sure, so it's out of my hands today. I can tell you that right now for sure. Today is an important broadcast. Today is a very important broadcast. It's about saving your children, dadgummit. It's about pointing out these so-called military leaders and these so-called legal politicians out there. And the high-level Masons, get out of the Masons. Get out of there. Renounce that blood oath. Don't play with fire. A pink 9mm automatic will kill you just as much as a black one will. A pink Ouija board is the same thing, I'm telling you right now, as letting your child play with a loaded weapon. And I mean this literally. Because your Pentagon, your government, the Russian government, the Chinese government, the European governments, the kings and queens, the black nobility, they weaponized witchcraft. Yeah, absolutely. So who are we talking about here? Well, I think we should give them all some airtime, don't you? I think we should give them some airtime. Make it even. But they would have their say. And to see what the other side has to say about it, what they're up to. I think every day about what I can talk about on my shows and programs and Bible studies to try to get something across to people. I don't know if this activity here, but this group working with this idea that the person with disabilities can be overruled by parents. I've been preaching this for 3 years. I don't know where they got the idea, but by George, something's happened. They're working on it. That's how you do it. That's how it's done. Is you form these movements. You make things happen. Not just sitting back. But you can't do it if you don't know. If you don't know your enemy. So how do they work?
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giuffrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giuffrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giuffrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
May I respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman.
And you have others. I'm not done. I'm just getting kind of wound up here. Unfortunately, I'm kind of running out of time. But there's another one that you might be interested in. How about this one?
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
I'm not laughing. And there's another one. You might find this very interesting.
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago.
Well, they're not fighting them, we're helping
and
them.
And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument.
That's a lie. It never collapsed.
It wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union. But let's be careful what we sow, because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine, you deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
That's another lie. That's a complete, total lie there. Everything else was the truth. But that she lied like 3 or 4 times there. And we have something else for you.
Thank you very much, Richard. And I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters.
That's the Council of Foreign Relations.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean,
be told what was doing? Really? The Council of Foreign Relations? And we have another one. Oh, it just gets better and better, don't it?
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries,
is nice
genuinely concerned about the disregard for...
Rick Joyner is a Knights of Malta. Jerry Boykin are Knights of Malta. Here we go.
...for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. on a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some like military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oaks Initiative's own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
That's how they work it. When you suspend the Constitution, you'll never get your rights back. That's the plan of the Knights of Malta. It's not going to happen. They're going to lie to you. They pretend to be patriots, and they're absolutely not. Now, another segment that I'll share with you along these same lines. In 1994, Oregon voters approved the Death with Dignity Act by a vote of 51% to 49%. It became effective in 1998, surviving court challenges and a repeal effort to make Oregon the first state in the country to legalize physician-assisted suicide. And the law allows physicians to prescribe life-ending drugs that are requested by terminally ill patients with 6 months or less to live. That's just scratching the surface. That goes back to the 1990s. It's Oregon. A lot of witchcraft is in Oregon going on right now to get these things passed. And they need sacrifices and family. They got it going on. They got it going on. You know how? You know, they've had three planes go down. You know, between the 19th of July and the 31st, you got Lugnasa, or Great Sabbath Festival, requires blood sacrifices of the Irish Celts, bringing through a Wiccan celebration, the Lugjasa, between the 19th of July and the 31st is the great festival of murder. Rape is what really goes on in the background. Named after their god, L-U-G-H. Family, I submit to you that those bodies on the Malaysia flight and the other two flights were sacrifices. Drained of blood, dead for 3 or 4 days, that puts them on the 19th. All the sacrifices between now and the 31st of July will be because of this festival. And they'll never let any crisis go wasted. Some people will disappear and be claimed dead on the flight, and they will have disappeared in their little penthouses with different names. You understand what I'm saying here? You got the idea how this really works? This is what's really going on today. July the 19th, look it up. This is the supernatural. Now, there's another person that died. And the question of how he died is very, not to be redundant, but questionable. Many think it was a murder. And he's another one that would not give in like all the other preachers and evangelists have done, is this one.
This is a video that I gave this prophecy back then, as you can see documented right here. January the 31st, 2011, on our Theodore and Michelle channel. This is when I gave a prophecy, and the prophecy is called A Prophetic Warning to the Church. You can see it's A Prophetic Warning to the Church, 2011 to 2012, part 2. You can go back and listen to this prophecy. But in this prophecy, of prophetic warning to the church 2011 to 2012 part 2. And you can see the documentation right here. It was posted on the channel.
And it was David Wilkerson's death prophecy fulfilled. Here's what he says, if I can find it.
I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter, the third chapter, if you will, please. 2 Peter. That dreadful day no one wants to talk about. We're going to be starting at verse 9. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to your body. We thank you, Lord, that we're not going into the future blind. Lord, we're not going without a guide. We're not going without your Spirit. And you're speaking to our hearts clearly in these days. Lord, there's a cry all over the land and around the world. There's something in the air. There's something stirring. And Lord, we pray that we would not miss the mind of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, you come and be acknowledged in this meeting, in this message. We glorify you. We come not to give just information. We come, Lord, to believe you, to use these messages to touch us and heal us and encourage us and make us aware. And that it would inspire us and that would lead us, Lord, into a deeper walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 9, the Lord, this is the third chapter, 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some account slackness. He's long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting, speeding, to the coming of the Lord our God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, this explains why we preach this word. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look or anticipate such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. A noted television evangelist this past few months gave a shocking warning to the United States. Respected man, and you know him, and he's a friend of mine, and I trust that God speaks to him, and he's warning America that there's coming a catastrophe that's going to cost the lives of multitudes and change the way we live forever. Another noted evangelist, who's a friend of mine, a television evangelist, confirms the same thing. And recently he took, a half-page ad in Washington, D.C. newspapers, making approximately the same warning. And in my mailing list, there are many praying pastors. They are unknown, but they're godly men and godly women who have been prophesying. And I know from the tone of their letters, and it's not just the first time. Many of them write to us numerous times. And it's been the same thing. Something is coming shortly. Something coming soon. And we had better be prepared. And they are warning. See, God takes those without an agenda. He'll take those that are not known. He'll take the poor and the weak of this world.
I'm going to let this continue. It may go over on TalkStream Live. You can continue listen to it, which I'll be live for the next 5 minutes, 6 minutes, on my website. It'll continue on. TalkStream Live will shut down. It may have it already. But on my website, it'll continue on for the next 6 minutes, and that'll be the end of the show. It's going to continue on.
And he'll speak, and he's doing that right now. Many have a right to say, Brother Dave, you have a voice and we don't, but would you please take this message that we've heard to the Lord and pray about it and see if you can speak it to others in a wider audience. And we're hearing that all the time now. repeatedly in the newscast that I listen to on radio. And this is well known. Some of the well-known commentators, news commentators, and host of news programs are saying, in essence, we can't know it, but intuitively something is telling the whole world that it's on the brink of a catastrophe. On the brink of a catastrophe. These are secular people. This intuitiveness of even the most wicked on the face of the earth, and especially here in the United States, there's intuitive something brewing inside where they know something has happened and they dread to talk about it. There's a fear. That same fear is in Israel. They don't want to talk about any Holocaust that could come. They don't want to talk about it. There's a fear. Just leave it alone. Just let it happen. The world powers are now absolutely confused. The United Nations recently has been called Mission Impossible. Look at Darfur. 300,000 have been killed. 2 million now that are straying from country to country. 2 million refugees. And the world watches in horror and they can't stop it. You know, it's amazing that we have nothing now left in the world but words. There are no superpowers anymore. The United States is not the superpower. China has boasted now. They're starting a navy. They're starting an air force. And they say they're going to replace the United States as a superpower. And everything seems to be made in China now. Everything seems to be made. Everything's being manufactured. And they've just now put in place a missile program that can knock down our spy satellites. And they are moving now and all over South America. Everywhere we travel now on our conferences in South America, you can go all the way to Uruguay, and you go up through Peru, you go up through the Latin America, and the Chinese have moved in, buying loyalty, buying that, just investing in those countries and putting billions of dollars to become the world superpower. You see these amazing things happening in the world today. Joel Rosenberg wrote a book I read this past week entitled Epicenter. He writes about the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad. The president of Iran claims to have visited the 12th Iman, the Messiah, the chief Mahdi that's coming, their Messiah. And he's had visitation from him and said, I have been placed in power by the 12th Iman. This is the Messiah they've been looking for. And I've been told that I was placed in power at this time to create chaos in the world because the great 12th Iman can't come until there's total chaos in the world. And he comes to bring peace in that chaos. And he has boasted to his inner circle. And this has been proven. He has boasted in his inner circle that there are only 3 years at the most before it all ends. Now, he is saying the same things Hitler said, and the world ignored him. And he already sent out signals all the time. And now the president of Iran is saying we're going to wipe Israel off the map. And they are already, most believe now that they're already nuclear capable. Amazing things that are happening now in our time before us. I read the report of a nuclear scientist, and he's involved in the security forces of the United States and Homeland Security. And this is what he said. He said, if all they have to do is bring in through Mexico a 10 kiloton nuclear bomb could be brought in a small vehicle. And if they could explode that over in Washington, D.C., 300,000 would die. A simple bomb in New York City, 500,000 people would die at the epicenter. This is a leading expert. And he said the resulting fireball would take out the theater district, that's where we're standing now, the New York Times building, Grand Central Station, and all the buildings in the Third Mile around, and the fires would the fireball would be so strong that fires would break out in suburbs all over New York.
Unlike Billy Graham, Hagee, Copeland, Joyce Myers, Osteen, Benny Hinn, Pat Robinson, you name them, John MacArthur, all of them have turned over the New Age movement, every single one of them. He would not back down. He maintained his position of loving Christ where all the others have turned to the New Age movement. And I said, Billy Graham, absolutely. He's been funded by the Rockefellers, Randolph Hearst, since 1949. All the rest of them on TBN, every single one of them is Eastern Star or Freemason. Same thing with Pat Robinson, the 33rd degree Mason, and all of 700 Club. Absolutely. But David Wilkerson will not give up. His death is very questionable. The 12th Imam, the Imam Mahdi, well, let me explain to you like this. The fake Yeshua, the fake Jesus Christ, his name is Sanand Emmanuel. He's a fallen angel. He's not an alien or ascended master. He's a fallen angel, evil to the core. He looks like the Jesus you think is Jesus, is not. Sanand Emmanuel comes in seven, if I remember the names. When he comes, he'll present himself to be Krishna, Bodhisattva, the Prince of Peace, the Christ, the Imam Mahdi, the Kalki Avatar, and Lord Maitreya. He will fit all seven in one. That's the one that's coming as a false prophet. The Antichrist will be one of the Illuminati's bloodline hybrids. But family, they lose no matter what they do. There's nothing they can do to change it. But the 7-year tribulation is coming. When? Don't know. Don't matter when. That's God's time, not ours. Our job is to bring Jesus Christ, is to bring people to Jesus Christ by witnessing. That's what we're for. And to give him all the glory. Jesus Christ. Well, family, I have to go now. And I appreciate you all sticking by and standing here, being here. And get this broadcast out if you think it's necessary. I thank you for your attention. And we'll be back, well, tonight, Bible study, 7:30 to 9. And I did find out that, of course, well known, that John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, of HighPortRadio.net, plays our broadcasts and Bible studies frequently, arbitrarily on his network. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. I have archives there. You can use whatever. I got a timeline. I got studies there. And also, I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. And that's it. I just pass the word. I get the word out so that other people will know. And that's what my role is, I suppose. So, y'all have a great night. And if you want to, join me in Bible study tonight, 7:30. Otherwise, Monday, 4 o'clock to 6. And then Monday night, 9 to 11, on Revelation Radio Network. You can hear it on my channel as well. The broadcast, 9 to 11, Eastern Standard Time. And then next week, here we go. Until such time that all changes. Until then, we live. You plan your future. You pray. You fast. You work with each other. Because the time's coming. But live your life not in fear, but in love, in caring, in strength and courage, and honesty. That's what it's all about. Masons, renounce that blood oath. Get out of there. Because they're lying to you. They're leading you down the wrong path. Well, I got to take the path out of here. So Y'all have a great night. God bless. And this is The Watchman, signing off.
Every fear I'd ever had.